Well, as we come to our study now tonight in God's Word, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. In our study of this Mount Everest of Psalms, we come to the 10th stanza that begins in verse 65. So Psalm 119, beginning in verse 65, the title of the message tonight is The Immeasurable Goodness of God's Word. Psalm 119, I want to first begin reading this passage in verse 65. As you know, this psalm is comprised of 22 stanzas of 8 verses each, a total of 176 verses. And tonight I want us to look at this 8-verse cluster that is found in verses 65 to 72. This is God's Word. The psalmist testifies, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." What Psalm 119 teaches us in every verse and in every stanza is the powerful ministry of the Word of God in the life of the believer. The Word is all sufficient to do in me what God desires to do for my spiritual good and to meet every deep and real spiritual need in my life. Everything in my Christian life, it can be said in one way or another, is secondary and supportive of this primary ministry of God's Word. It is the Word of God that saved me. It is the Word of God that sanctifies me. It is the Word of God that supports and sustains and strengthens me, and it is the Word of God that satisfies me. Quite frankly, we can never have too much of God's Word. Our Christian lives will never grow beyond the level of our intake and internalization of God's Word. Our Christian lives will never grow beyond our right and clear understanding of the Scripture. A shallow understanding of the Word will lead only to a shallow Christian life. In fact, there can be no spiritual depth apart from a deep understanding of the Word and a deep commitment to the Word. Everything in my spiritual life hinges upon the ministry of the Word of God within me. Everything good in my spiritual life, in one way or another, flows out of the ministry of God's Word within me. The ministry of God's Word remains the focus as we come to the 10th stanza. And what stands out most about this 10th stanza is the word good. It is without a doubt the most prominent word in these verses. This stanza is all about the infinite goodness of God that comes to us through His Word. The word good occurs at the beginning of 5 of these 8 verses. In verse 65, it reads literally, "Good you have dealt with your servant." In verse 66, "Good discernment and knowledge teach me." In verse 68, "Good you are and good you do" is how it reads literally. Verse 71 reads, "Good it is for me that I was afflicted." And in verse 72, where it is translated "better to me," in the Hebrew, this verse reads, "Good is to me the law of your mouth." The reason that "good" begins each of these 5 verses is because this is an acrostic psalm. And in the Hebrew, each verse of this 10th stanza begins with the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Teth. And that's why at the top of the 10th stanza in your English Bible, you will see the Hebrew letter Teth, and it is spelled out. All 8 of these verses in the Hebrew begins with this letter Teth. And the word for good in the Hebrew is tov, T-O-B or T-O-V. And it signals the beginning of five of these eight verses. So this stanza is all about the goodness of God. It is all about the goodness of God that comes to me through the ministry of His Word. God's goodness is poured out upon us through His Word. The promises of God comfort us. The imperatives of God direct us. The principles of God counsel us. The examples of God relate to us. The warnings of God's Word challenge us, and so on and so forth. Well, let's begin looking now at this 10th stanza. And in verse 65, we first see the declaration of God's goodness. The declaration of God's goodness. And commentators tell us that verse 65 is the central theme of this entire stanza. What is stated in verse 65 is the theme that continues throughout this entire 10th stanza. And the theme is the goodness of God that comes to me through the ministry of His Word. So look at verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant. Literally in the Hebrew, good, you have dealt with your servant. Or more properly for us in English, well, you have dealt with your servant. It's in the emphatic position to underscore the goodness of God. God has done good to him continually. He sees much good in his life, and he understands that it has all come from God. And spiritually, it has all come, as he says in verse 65, according to your word. There is no goodness, spiritually speaking, in his life, but that it has come to him through his word. And this is amazing because we learn from some of these verses, such as verse 67, this was a time of affliction. This was a very difficult time of adversity. And yet in the midst of this difficulty, he understood that God was at work and there was much good pouring out, in being poured out into his life. You'll notice he humbly refers to himself as your servant. He is a mere servant before God, and he understands, therefore, he has no claims to God's goodness. He is not an equal with God, certainly not a superior, but one who is under God. And any goodness that would come to him would certainly be unmerited on his part as a mere servant of the king. But he acknowledges, he testifies in verse 65, this is the theme, not only of this stanza, it is the theme of his life, that God has done good to me all the days of his life, that God has dealt well with him. And now the second line of verse 65, according to your word. Now this tells us that all the goodness that has come to his life has been in connection with God's Word, in conformity with God's Word. This is to say, God has been true to all of his promises in his life. God has kept his Word to him, and it has resulted in substantial good to the psalmist. Albert Barnes, the commentator who has written the multi-volume set Barnes Notes, writes at this point, quote, "The whole effect of the revealed truth of God upon him has been good. It was designed for his good, and it had produced only good." In other words, the purpose of the Word of God, the psalmist understood, was for the purpose of doing good in his life, and that is all that has come to him through the Word, is this good. I believe that this is our testimony here tonight, is it not? God has dealt with us well according to his Word. And I want to say, the greater that you delve into God's Word, the greater will be the expressions of God's goodness to you. We plunge ourselves more fully into the goodness of God, the more we go deeper and deeper into His Word, and the more we incorporate the Word of God into our lifestyle. The greater you learn and live the Word of God, the greater will be your experience of God's Word. So, he begins in verse 65 with the declaration of God's goodness. And surely that is our testimony here tonight. All of us who are saved and in Christ, every one of us can say, the Lord has dealt well with me. He has done me good all the days of my life. We can say with the psalmist in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell with him in the house of the Lord. Now, as we come to verse 66, he begins to describe this. And in verse 66 through verse 71, he gives us six expressions of God's goodness that has come to his spiritual life that are mediated through the Word of God. And I would say to you here tonight, these are the same six expressions of God's goodness that will flow into your life as you plunge yourself more fully and deeply into the ministry of God's Word. Let's look at these one at a time. Beginning in verse 66, running through verse 71, these six verses give us six expressions of God's goodness that come through His Word. The first is found in verse 66. The Word produces, number one, spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. Look at verse 66. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. How will this discernment come to the life of the psalmist? It will come through the ministry of the commandments of God. In other words, the more we study God's Word, the more it sharpens our discernment, and the more it heightens our ability to discriminate with what we see between what is right and what is wrong. Now, the word discernment is a very important word. It literally means, in the Hebrew, taste. That ability by which we would test and determine the quality of things as being either sweet or sour, or appealing or bitter. You see, what the Word of God does, it allows us to taste life and determine what is godly and what is worldly, what is good and what is evil, what is wise and what is foolish. This discernment allows us to live with a divine perspective. This discernment allows us to see with an eternal perspective. It is a discernment of what is right and what is wrong. It is a discernment between the path that you should take and the path that you must avoid and shun. And coupled with this discernment is, notice, knowledge. Teach me good discernment and knowledge. The way discernment comes to us is through the knowledge of the truth. And that knowledge is found in God's Word. The more I plunge myself into the Word of God, the more discernment that I have as I live life. The more discernment comes to me through the Word to determine the moral quality of things. The Word of God helps me distinguish, as I've already said, between what is right and what is wrong. How to differentiate between what is primary and what is secondary, what is wise and what is foolish. The Word enabled the psalmist to appreciate and to distinguish right from wrong. This is the first good that he acknowledges comes to his life. He has spiritual X-ray vision. And he has prudence, and he has understanding, and he has penetrating insight into the issues of life, and he is able to make discretionary calls. Look with me in Psalm 119, verse 98, and I think we will see even more of what the psalmist is saying. This is the first ministry of goodness that comes to us from the Word, and it is discernment, spiritual discernment. Notice verse 98 through 100. I've read these verses to you before, but it speaks of the wisdom and insight and understanding that comes from God's Word. Verse 98, "Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they," referring to God's commandments, "are ever mine." Verse 99, "I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." Verse 100, "I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts." Do you see this discernment? In verse 98, more wisdom than my enemies. Verse 99, more insight than all my teachers. Verse 100, more understanding than the aged. Nothing will give you sharper and greater discernment in the issues of life and the way that you should go than the ministry of God's Word. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and it reveals the way that I am to go. Verse 130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple." I don't see how any parent here tonight could raise your children apart from the supernatural God-given discernment that you so need, and it comes as God's goodness to you through the ministry of His Word. The more you plunge into God's Word, the less naive you are, the less foolish you are, and the more you have wisdom and insight and understanding into the realities of life, into the realities of human nature, and into the realities of how God is at work in this world. So that's the first ministry of God's Word, spiritual discernment. Now come back, if you would, to verse 67. Come back to our 10th stanza. And there is a second description of God's goodness. First, spiritual discernment, and in verse 67, spiritual direction. Notice verse 67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." He acknowledges that before this trial, and this trial involved persecution from those who were around him, a spiritual persecution for his stand in the Word of God, although at this time he was not living it to the fullest extent as he should have. And he acknowledges in verse 67 that his spiritual life was misdirected, that he was going astray, that there was a waywardness from God's will. And now he is on target, and now he has been redirected more carefully onto the narrow path that leads to life. And he tells us what was the instrument, what was the spiritual compass that has pointed him from no longer being astray to being so much on target, and it is the ministry of God's Word. In verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your Word." The psalmist acknowledges that by no means was he perfect in keeping God's Word, but that God used persecution and opposition positively in his life, and it drove him to the Word of God. The affliction drove him back to the Word, and the Word drove him back to the center of God's will. Do you see the cause and effect, the domino effect? It was the affliction that drove him to the Word, and it was the Word that drove him to no longer be astray, but to pursue the very center of his Word. And so thus, even this affliction was good because it drove him into the Word. God will work in your life and in my life this way. In fact, God has worked this way in my life and in your life. So many times God purposes adversity and affliction and trial to come into our life, to humble us, to drive us to our knees, to bring us back to the Word of God, to remove self-sufficiency from us, to remove a mere sense of autonomy from us, and bring us to the point where we read our Bible, where we study our Bible, and learn from our Bible as previously in that season we had not. And so God is causing all things to work together for our good. And so we see in verse 67 this spiritual direction, and this is the goodness of God for our lives to be no longer astray, but back on track with the Lord. There's a third aspect that I want you to see. In verse 66, discernment. In verse 67, direction. In verse 68, doctrine. You see, from the Word of God, we are taught the truths of God and the mind of God. Now look at verse 68. You are good and do good. He makes an explicit statement that one of the attributes and one of the character qualities of God is that God is good. Therefore, God can only do good. God's actions of goodness flow from His attribute of goodness. And so He begins by affirming the goodness of God. Having stated that, He now humbly asks of the Lord, teach me your statutes. And it will be in his humbling himself before the Lord and being asked to be taught the statutes of God that he will come to more fully and deeply understand the truths found in God's Word. This prayer, teach me your statutes, in reality, is he is saying, make me better acquainted with your Word. Help me better understand your Word. And the more he studies and the more he learns of God's Word, the more the goodness of God is mediated to him in his life. A deeper, fuller understanding of God's truth paves the way to experience the goodness of God even more. As I contemplated this verse and gave thought to this, I realized how foreign this is to the society in which we live. We live in an anti-intellectual society. We live in a day when people do not want to read and do not want to be taught. They simply want to feel. And few people today want to read and study. Few people today want to engage in profound intellectual thought, especially in God's Word. And few people today want to be taught beyond what they know. People today, on the whole, want to be entertained. They want amusement. And the word amuse literally means not to think. A museum, or to muse, is a place that you go to think. Amusement, or an amusement park, is the opposite of a museum. If you would go to a museum to think and to ponder, you would go to an amusement park to be entertained so that you would not have to think. And so people want to be amused and not to think. And all of this has come into the church. And so today is the day of the 25-minute sermon, of the topical feel-good message, of the superficial small group discussion, of the shallow Christian concert, of the sugary music video, of the trite Sunday school quarterly, of the 93-page best-selling Christian book. All of this is a reflection of how little people want to pray this, teach me your statutes. And so therefore, people are experiencing less and less of the goodness of God, because the goodness of God is experienced in connection with a fuller, richer, deeper understanding of the truths of God's Word. How good of God to teach us His Word. You see, His Word elevates our mind. It comforts our hearts. It strengthens our spirits. It encourages our souls. It solidifies our resolve. It directs our wills. And it is all tied up in our study of the Word and praying to God, "Teach me your statutes." How I thank God for you tonight that you stand out from a day in which so many people do not want to study the Word and do not want to be taught deeper and more fully the exposition of the Word of God, but instead there is a passion within your heart and there is a pursuit within your mind to be taught by the Lord His Word and His truth. And so therefore you are experiencing more and more of the goodness of God that is associated with His Word. Well, there is more here. Having stated in verse 65 how well God has dealt with him, and beginning in verse 66, unfolding a description of this goodness to him through the Word, discernment in verse 66, direction in verse 67, doctrine in verse 68. In verse 69, there is a deepening, a spiritual deepening. He says in verse 69, "The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart I will observe your precepts." We are to imply from this again that it was the adversity of these who slandered him that drove him more fully and deeply into the Word of God with all of his heart and led him to observe, meaning to practice, the precepts of the Lord. They meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And the more they slandered him, the more they persecuted him, the more he was being driven to the Word with humility and with diligence, whereby with all of his heart, he was brought to newer levels of commitment to practice the Word of God. A couple of things worth noting in verse 69. "The arrogant have forged a lie against me." This word "forged" is a word that literally means to patch together. And here it means the piecing together of lies and half-truths with other lies, with other half-truths, and half of the truth, you understand, is no truth at all, into one tapestry of a lie that would be brought against him, and it is brought by those who are arrogant and who are prideful, and yet we see the effect that it has had upon his spiritual life. As a result of this lie that has been brought against him, and no doubt calling into question his motives, no doubt calling into question his own life, as a result of that, "with all my heart, I will obey your precepts." The effect has been there is a deeper and more passionate putting into practice the Word of God. You see, all of these attacks have been served to deepen his convictions in the Word, to deepen his commitment to the Word, and to deepen his conformity to the Word. My friend, the same will happen with us as well as we are marked out as those who stand upon the Word of God and live for the Word of God. There will be, in varying degrees, lies spoken against us by the arrogant and accusations hurled at us by those who are not standing on the Word of God with us, and it is painful, and it hurts at times, but God uses it for our good. How good of God to bring this affliction, because it is this affliction that immerses our heart in the Word of God, and in this time of brokenness and humility, it is the Word that refashions us, and it is the Word that remolds us into the image of Christ all the more. I can say in my own spiritual life, the times when God has brought the greatest heat of affliction to me have been those times that the Word of God has been the most precious to me, and has been those times that God has pruned and removed things from my character and from my heart that needed to be removed all along, and that God has used this time in which I was crippled by this trial to use the Word to refashion me into the very image of Jesus Christ. And once that trial is over, I can only look back and say, God, it was worth it all for the spiritual good that has come into my life as a result of this trial. And we hear ourselves saying again, I would go through that trial again. I would walk down that fiery corridor again, because that was a time in my life that broke me and humbled me and drove me to the Word of God, and I clung to the Word of God as never before. It was no longer coldly academic and clinical for me, but it became my necessary lifeline, my necessary substance to carry me through that trial. That is exactly what the psalmist is saying, and it is in this stanza in which he is talking about the goodness of God. He is testifying to us, it was the goodness of God that allowed this trial, because it was this trial that drove me deeper into the Word, and what spiritual blessing and good has come to my life. What an amazing thing. I'm sure you can testify to the same experience in your own life. But let's continue. There are two more aspects that I want you to see of God's goodness that comes to us through the ministry of His Word, not only a deepening in verse 69, but in verse 70, a delight. He says, their heart is covered with fat. Now, their heart refers to the arrogant in verse 69 who have crafted and pieced together these innuendos, these half-truths, these slanderous accusations to form one lie. It is these that he refers to in verse 70. Their heart is covered with fat. Fat. They're fatheads, is what he is saying here. And the fact that they are covered with fat indicates that their hearts are sluggish and unresponsive to the Word of God. That their hearts are literally fat with fat, is what it says in the Hebrew, or fat upon fat. They are incapable of receiving biblical truth, because there is this fat that surrounds their heart and insulates their heart from the ministry of the Word of God, penetrating them. But by way of contrast, in verse 70, but on the other hand, he now gives this testimony, but I delight in your law. God's Word is a drudgery to them. But to him, God's Word is a delight. And during this time that he is suffering so much heat in this fiery trial, the Word of God is becoming sweeter and sweeter and sweeter to him. And he is delighting in the Word deeper and more fully to such an extent in his heart. This is an amazing thing. We would say it's almost an oxymoron, but the more that the heat is being turned up in his life, the more he is delighting in the Word of God. And so his heart is knowing deepest joy and highest bliss. In other words, his heart is the happiest when the Word in him is the strongest. And again, it is this trial and this affliction that is driving him to the Word. And now that the Word is in his heart, the joy from the Word far outweighs the pain from the trial. Did you get that? The joy and the delight that comes to him through the Word of God is far outweighing the pain of the adversity. And this is a truth that he has emphasized repeatedly in this psalm. Verse 16, he said, "I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word." It is the Word of God that was bringing the greatest joy to him. In verse 24, "Your testimonies also are my delight." You see, he is not being drugged into Bible study. He is being filled with delight in his Bible study. Look at verse 35. "Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." And in verse 47, "I shall delight in your commandments, which I love." You see, this is the goodness of God, to fill our hurting hearts with his joy, his satisfaction, his contentment, to use the word here, his delight. And even in a time when the furnace of affliction is being turned up seven times, it is the Word of God that yet provides a greater delight. Do you need more of God's joy in your heart? Do you need a greater delight in the midst of a difficult time? I want to tell you, it will come to your life the more fully you plunge yourself into this book, and the more this book dominates your mind and your thinking, the more this book saturates your heart and your soul, and the more this book directs your will and your choices. Now, there is one more aspect that I want you to see. In verse 71, not only delight, but also discovery. In verse 71, it is good. Here's our word, tob. It is good for me, or literally in the Hebrew, this line reads, "Good it was for me that I was afflicted." This is a very mature man. This is a mature believer. He is seeing his affliction and his adversity from an eternal perspective. He is viewing his difficulty from a divine vantage point because he sees the effect that it has in his spiritual life for good. "It is good for me that I was afflicted." Now, not that the pain in and of itself was a blessing, because none of us really enjoy pain. You would have to be sadistic if you enjoyed pain. But it is what the pain produces that leads him to this testimony. "It is good for me that I was afflicted," because what it did is it increased his appetite for the Word of God, and it drove him to the place with deeper hunger to learn God's statutes. He was no longer comfortable being where he was in his spiritual life at that point. It was the affliction that was pushing him on and driving him deeper in his spiritual life that he would learn God's statutes. Albert Barnes writes at this point, quote, "Anything that will lead a man to obey God is a blessing," unquote. And so this trial was a blessing. And it was an expression of the goodness of God for what it produced and where it led him in his life, that he would be brought to a place of being a diligent student of the Word and one all the more dedicated to living what he was learning in the Word. Understand this. There is no school of learning the Scripture that compares with the school of adversity. You will never really study and learn the Bible like you do than when you are being hammered on the anvil of adversity by the hammer of persecution. It is in those times when we suffer for the Word that we actually study the Word with greatest motivation. How I thank God as I look back to seasons in my life of adversity that have come to me because of the Word of God. It has led to the most prolific spurts of spiritual growth because I was being driven to the Word of God more deeply and more fully. Well, finally, in verse 72, he brings this stanza to completion. This stanza lays out very easily for us. Verse 65 is an opening statement. Verse 72 is a closing statement. And what is in between is a delineation or a description of God's goodness. Finally, in verse 72, he ends with the deposit of God's goodness. He tells us that the Word of God is the greatest treasure of blessing for him in his life. He ends by making this statement, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." Literally in the Hebrew, this word that is translated "better" is in the emphatic position at the beginning of the verse and is the same word that is translated "good" in multiple verses earlier. He is saying, good to me, more correctly, better to me, is the law of your mouth than thousands of gold and silver. Certainly this identification of the Word of God as the law of your mouth speaks to the divine authorship and inspiration of God's Word, that it has literally come from the mouth of God through the pen of the biblical writer. But when the Bible speaks, God speaks. And the Scripture contains the very voice of God. And it is a most valuable possession of greater value than any amount of wealth. Now he says it is greater than thousands of gold and silver. You may find it helpful to note that thousands was the largest number in the Hebrew language at this point. It would be like our saying today, millions and billions and trillions and gazillions. Thousands of gold and silver. By this, he meant to say that he would not give up God's Word for all the wealth in the world. That it was a greater prize to him than if he would gain all of the treasures of man's kingdoms. He speaks here of the inestimable value and the preciousness of God's Word. It is a storehouse of treasure, and that treasure being the truth of God's Word. And so the psalmist gives us very clear testimony here of the great value that the Word of God has come to his spiritual life. He said earlier in verse 14, "I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches." And in verse 127, he says, much the same. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold. Yes, above fine gold. As he writes this psalm, there seems to be a growing estimation that he has of the supreme value of God's Word. Because in verse 14, he merely says that he rejoices in the Word as much as in all riches. But by the time he comes to our verse, in verse 72, he says it is better than thousands of gold and silver pieces. But in verse 27, he doesn't even bother to speak of silver, which is usually estimated less than gold. He speaks only of gold. In fact, not just gold, but the finest, most pure gold in verse 27. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold. Yes, above fine gold. And he says in verse 162, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. And so he grows and grows and grows in his estimation of the supreme value of God's word. First, as much as all riches, but then, no, it is greater than gold and silver. Then he goes, no, it's greater than just silver, even the very finest silver. Well, I trust tonight, as you are living your Christian life, as you are walking closely with the Lord, as you walk in daily fellowship with Him, as you will tomorrow go back to your place of work, go back to your home, go back to your school, that you will be going with God's Word hidden in your heart, and that there will be a greater appreciation, if that could possibly be, than what you have already had in your love and devotion to God's Word, that there will be an enlarging of our hearts to more highly prize and value God's Word. How central should be the ministry of the Word of God in the life of the believer. How we should read the Word. How we should meditate upon the Word. How we should study the Word. How we should minister the Word. And how we should obey the Word and live the Word. And it is the chief means of grace. It is the chief means of grace for the goodness of God to come into our lives. There are many other means of grace, from fellowship to prayer to worship to serving, etc., etc. But theologians down through the centuries have been agreed that the primary means of God's grace and the primary channel of God's goodness to come flowing into our lives and hearts is through the ministry of the Word of God. As you would desire to experience more and more of God's goodness in your life, may you be brought afresh and anew to a place of greater hunger and greater thirst for the Word, and may you live it more fully day by day in your life, and your testimony will be what the psalmist is here, how good God has been to me according to His Word. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You tonight for the ministry of Your Word. We understand how dependent we are upon Your Word. You are a spirit, and we cannot see You, touch You, feel You in any way. We at times feel alone in this world that is so opposed to You, and how we need a tangible means that we may latch onto, by which You may speak to us and comfort us and direct us. And Lord, You have provided this for us in the treasure of Your Word, which is more valuable to us than gold and silver. You have dealt well with us according to your word, this is our testimony. And we thank you for the good discernment and the delight and the direction that comes to us, the sound doctrine, and all of the expressions of your goodness to us have been poured out through your word to us. It was your word that saved us. It is your word now, day by day, that strengthens and sustains us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for this. May your word continue to have great effect and ministry in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.